The Thieves Press proudly presents Switch Pitcher, written and read by Mark J. Riley.
"I asked you to let him pitch a full inning," said Denning, barely containing his ire. "What you asked is that I let him switch pitch for an inning. I told you I had a scout here. It was Jaggard. He came for Gill. Well, he didn't miss much. What the hell is your problem?" "You are the problem. You let that boy think he has something." "He does have something, if you'd give him the chance."
Reynolds finally met his eyes.
"He's a novelty. It made you look good in JV, nothing else. No place for it in real baseball."
"You mean in your baseball? The majors have already accepted it."
"They deal with it. They've never accepted it and they never will. Once this Venditti washes out, it'll be over. Just a passing thing."
"I disagree.
And that's why you coach freshmen in JV.
Denning felt a distinct urge to pummel the man, but he held back, knowing nothing would get through his inflexible mind.
"You don't have the right to hold back a player." "The hell I don't. I'm the coach, and this is my team. Don't you forget it. But Gil's got no future anyway. Better to have him face reality earlier rather than later. Now get out of my dugout."
Denning started up the steps, but stopped at the last one and turned to Reynolds.
"I can't wait to see your face when he proves you wrong."
"You have to calm down, buddy," said Tucker, cruising down Montezuma Street.
"And why's that?" exclaimed Gil.
Mandy was sitting between them on the front seat and sank back out of the firing range.
"5 innings. That's how many I've been allowed to pitch this season. And always in relief. Always with the left hand. You're a reliever," says the high and mighty Coach Reynolds.
I know.
"Do you? So how much longer would you say I should wait before I stop being calm? Hey, how about the rest of the season? Then all the open tryouts are over. How about then? Would that be long enough, buddy?"
Tucker didn't have an answer for this, so he kept his mouth shut. When they reached the apartment building, Gil headed inside. Mandy turned to Tucker, who was gripping the steering wheel, staring out at the vacant lot.
"He's going to leave, isn't he?"
"Uh-huh."
"He won't graduate if he does. Isn't there something you could say?"
"He don't give a rat's ass about graduating, and I can't blame him. He was born to do one thing, Mandy. It's all he's good at. So here's what I have to say. I'll do anything he wants me to do to help him reach his dream."
That night, the two boys made their plans. In 2 weeks, the Major League Baseball Scouting Bureau was holding a tryout in Phoenix, open to any player 16 years or older. Gil went online and filled out the entry form, the fee to be paid on the day of the tryouts. It happened the Badgers had a game on that day, but this held little concern. Gil knew he wasn't going to pitch, so what was the point? As the days crept by, the two friends worked feverishly to get Gil ready. Not a word was said to Alice, and though Tucker understood why Gil was staying mum, he felt it was unfair to keep her in the dark. 4 days before the tryouts, he said as much to Gil.
"She'll find out soon enough, after I'm drafted."
"Why not let her know now? She's always supported what you do."
Gil's cheek twitched. "Because on the off chance she says she doesn't want me to leave her, I'd have to stay. I'd have no choice. And then I'd resent it. And her." Tucker digested this.
"Then I guess we're on our own. Does the team know?"
"No. They're a good bunch of guys and I hate to let them down, but it's what I gotta do. And I don't want to talk about it anymore. You think you can run me over to the bus station? I need to get my ticket to Phoenix."
Tucker had to work very hard to keep his anger in check. He clenched his jaw and tried to slow his breathing before he responded. Gil took it as hesitation.
"Never mind. I know you're busy. I'll just walk on over."
"You shut the hell up, Gil Hayes. So help me, I'll knock you a good one, and you'll go to that tryout with a shiner. Ain't nobody taking you to Phoenix but me. Understood?"
"Sure, Tuckeroo."
"Okay, sure. And I don't want to hear another word about it."
"And you won't. I just didn't want you to have to take off work."
Tucker's jaw flapped open in disbelief. He shook his head violently, muttering angrily to himself. Gil quickly tossed an arm over his shoulders and squeezed tight.
"I'm sorry, brother. I wasn't thinking. It's not my specialty, as you of all people know. I'd be honored to have you chauffeur me. Might want to bring Mandy along, though. After I catch the eye of some scout and he whisks me off to the majors, it won't be much fun for you driving home alone." Tucker looked at him and smiled.
"On the contrary, that'll be the greatest moment of my life."
The Thieves Press proudly presents Love on the Lamb, Written and read by Mark J. Riley.
Amateur, if you don't have a weapon, how do you intend on robbing this bank?
Reed growled, then realized it was an apt question and swung back to his note. Under his initial message, he wrote, I have a bomb. Candace peered over his shoulder and said,
Don't be ridiculous. You do not.
I do so.
Where's it hidden?
Not to be outdone twice, Reed put on his most dangerous face, which was not convincing, and said, In my jacket pocket. You better get away from here or you'll be the first to go. Candace could not contain her tittering, which really got under Reed's skin. You're playing with fire, lady. I'm a dangerous man.
Oh my, yes, said Candace, choking back the giggles. And in possession of such a cunning criminal mind. The old bomb in the pocket trick. I wish I'd thought of it.
He stared at her bemused smile and, for the first time in his life, wished he actually was a dangerous man. Unfortunately, back off, was all he was able to mutter. It did little to deter Candace. She'd seen enough of this distraction and was ready to make her move.
No, I'm afraid you're the one who's going to have to stand down, young man. This is my jug, and I'm the one who's going to rob it.
Reed barked out a laugh, but Ma Barker didn't flinch. Granted, Manhattan is a strange place, with lots of strange people, and like all New Yorkers, Reed was used to it. But this was really freaking him out. It was like some sort of reality TV show. Had to be. Sure, a modern-day candid camera, making a buffoon out of some poor unwitting slob. He scanned for a hidden camera crew but saw none. But that would be what they wanted, right? Okay. If this was his last day of freedom, he would be nobody's fool. Confident of the ruse being played on him, he grinned smugly and asked, Your heist, huh? Be my guest. Though, out of professional curiosity, what are you gonna do? Hit them with your purse? Candace deftly unsnapped her clutch and revealed the gun inside. Reed's eyes popped. Reality flooded back into the picture. Candace relished the effect and said,
Satisfied? Now shoot.
Reed thought about obeying. It's how he was programmed. But his plan was too perfect to stop now. After all, how hard was it to get caught? Big whoop, he declared. I have more firepower than that little thing.
Candace exhaled dramatically. Please, just drop the silly bomb thing. It would never fit in your pocket.
Reed was crestfallen. Knowing full well facts don't lie, but still doggedly persisted. Why not? Candace's fuse was now spent.
Why? Because, you moron, it's a bomb,
she declared just a bit too loudly so that the lady waiting at the end of the nearest line overheard. Already suffering from hypersensitivity due to the uncertain nature created by the modern age of terrorists, the lady immediately shouted,
She's got a bomb! The old lady has a bomb!
Reed screamed, She does not! I'm the bad guy! I'm the one with the bomb! He threw up his arms, waiting to be arrested. But Candace had no such aspirations, and her ad-lib plan was going to hell. She had to act quickly.
He's lying. He doesn't have a bomb, but I do have a gun, and this is a robbery. Everybody on the ground!
All the customers immediately dropped as she reached for the gun. But in her haste, it became jammed in the tight confines of the small clutch. The security guard, seeing his moment, drew his revolver. In desperation, Candace shoved the purse into Reed's side and said,
Drop it, or I put one through him.
Come on, lady, there's no gun in there, said the security guard with false bravado. The tense standoff was broken by Reed's quivering voice. She's not kidding, man. I saw it. She really does have a gun. Seeing the flicker of doubt in the security guard's eyes, Candace took the stage.
He's telling the truth, so now you have to ask yourself, do you want blood on your hands? Go ahead, be a hero. But he gets it first. Question is, do they pay you enough for that? I didn't think so. Now lay the gun down and kick it away. Very good. Tell us, I want all the cash in the drawers in one sack. Quickly. And the rest of you, get out your wallets and push them away, arm's length.
She grinned as everyone followed instructions. Then an alarm started wailing and all hell broke loose.
The Thieves Press proudly presents Posse of Thieves, written and read by Mark J. Riley.
Where did you get this stuff about the museum?
I found it online. It's a PDF of a facility condition analysis report for the museum from last year. They were asking for money to upgrade their security systems. I can't believe they put that kind of stuff online. How stupid can you get? Don't knock it. Stupidity is my best resource. Anyway, I later found the budget breakdown for that year and the museum had their request shot down. Money was too tight. The roof hatch has never been fixed. I did a preliminary run just to make sure, and the only thing between us and those baskets is a padlock, which is really shameful in my opinion.
You were already up on the roof?
Planning is everything, brother. The only thing more important is sticking to the plan. Oops, almost forgot. This is for you.
He handed Tin Man a small black flashlight. I thought we didn't want anyone to see us. Why would we use one of these?
It's not for us to see. Let's hope we don't have to use it. I don't carry guns anymore, so this is my protection in case I come face to face with some snoop during a job.
Tin Man scrunched his face and stared at the little flashlight. You hit him with this?
Yep, right in the eyes. It's the Shadowhawk X800 military-grade tactical flashlight. It's like 40 times brighter than a normal one. It's set on strobe. If you get into trouble, just turn it on here and focus it right at their eyes. You'll temporarily blind them enough to get away. It's your best friend on a heist, guaranteed.
Tin Man eyed the little light with newfound respect. He nodded thanks to his brother and carefully tucked it into a pants pocket. Anything else we need to know?
I think that's it. Oh, I found out the campus guards are only allowed to carry tasers. So whatever happens, we won't have to worry about being shot.
How reassuring.
Right? He turned to Bones and Catfish. By the way, I love the getup, guys. You'll blend right in. I did find this in the car. Thought it might be useful. He held up a portable folding walker.
Bones grinned. Yes, we'll make use of that.
Ah, geez, brother. You're gonna have to lose the shoes.
Why?
Well, first thing is, they're white.
Tin Man stared sheepishly at his gleaming new sneakers. Right, but I just bought them with the last of my dough.
Second, they leave tread marks the cops can match up. Unless you want to throw your new shoes away right after the heist, you'll put these on.
He tossed Tin Man a pair of the soft, dark crepe shoes he always wore on jobs. Tin Man stared at them. He saw the thin soles and knew with every other step he'd be conscious of the ballooning growth on his foot. He slowly began untying his sneakers, praying the nasty thing wouldn't explode and spawn.
You sure have come a long way, Peach, Bones drawled. From the way you planned this out, I take it you've been mobbed up before.
Actually, no. I worked with One String for a while, but they were amateurs. Carried guns. Always trying to double-cross. Sometimes I've used a guy as a wheelman or to help me with a jug that required special tools. But mostly I've been a lone wolf. And you know, it's held me back some. Limited the kind of heist I could pull. With a good string, you can go after the big hauls. The stuff you can't do when you're solo. Problem was, I just never felt I could trust anybody. And now you got us. If you can't trust the posse, who can you trust?
Peach, Tin Man, and Bones all looked at Catfish, grins breaking out. Peach cried,
I forgot all about that. It's what we called ourselves when we first went out on the road together.
Catfish smiled and nodded. Peach said,
Hey, if this goes well, we can move on to bigger jobs. The kind of stuff I've been dreaming about.
If this goes well, said Tin Man, we're all going to retire.
Peach grinned, Sure. Sure thing, brother.
Peach did a quick study of each face in his string. It was mandatory. He had to know they were all of one mind, the only thing keeping them from taking a fall. Satisfied, he nodded.
All right, boys, let's do this.
The posse rides again.
The Thieves Press proudly presents Shady Deal, written and read by Mark J. Riley.
I got the house up, said Tech. He spun his laptop around so everyone could see the satellite view of Mr. Clarkson's house and the surrounding area.
Easy access from the golf course, said Peach. No house bordering on one side. I can see why you like it. What about the security system?
I couldn't get close enough. You and I do a dry run tonight.
Tech, said Peach.
Tech zoomed in and slowly moved around the house until landing on a panel mounted to the side. Peach leaned in and examined it.
No need for a dry run. I can take this box easy. Sorry to interrupt. Okay, plan B.
Tin Man chewed on his lip and paced along the table, plan B beginning to formulate. Peach said,
What do we know about this guy other than what Q-Tip told you?
What more do we need to know?
Asked Tin Man, anxious to get on with his new amazing plan.
He's some rich miser who sits around and plays with his money.
Sometimes secondhand info is not always reliable. Tex, see what you can find out about this guy.
This is the perfect mark. What's the point in digging deeper? You want to hear plan B or not?
Peach waved his hand, giving him the stage.
Tomorrow, Bones and Catfish follow this guy to wherever he goes. Bones forks his leather. Now we wait until night, then we have Tech call him. Think you can find a number for him, Tech?
Already got it. Old guy still has a landline. Can you believe it?
Has to. For the security system.
Wow, I hadn't thought of that.
Neither had Tin Man, but he wasn't dumb enough to admit it to the teacher.
So Tech calls. Says he found the wallet. Offers to give it back for a reward. But the guy has to come pick it up. We send him to the Meadowwood Mall. Give him the runaround for an hour. Meanwhile, Peach and I do the heist. No more worries about neighbors or bright sunshiny day. Mission accomplished.
He held his breath, his mind surprised at how good his impromptu plan actually sounded, but still fearful his posse may find some obvious flaw. Catfish gave Bones a sidelong look. Bones raised one eyebrow. Peach stared into space. Tech clacked away on the keyboard.
Using a fixed pattern to force a schedule on the mark, said Catfish sagely.
I like it, just like in a con.
Or a jug mob on the whiz, said Bones. Tin Man half exhaled, the other half still waiting on his teacher.
That's good stuff. Simple, clean, it's a go for me.
The other half of the exhale oozed out, allowing in a sweet-tasting breath of fresh air filled with newfound hope.
Yeah, that plan's the dope, said Tech, except for the fact the guy's in arrears.
The breath Tin Man had just inhaled suddenly turned toxic. He sputtered, desperately trying to expel it before it contaminated his body and mind with everlasting depression.
Kinda like what you were in not too long ago, right?
Tech asked, oh so innocently. He was referring to the situation Tin Man found himself after Dez, former owner of the motel, had dumped a dive on him, leaving him with a large tax bill. When the basket burglary went bust, Peach loaned him $3,000 to cover the fees. It was a low point in his life, and he was oh so glad Tech had brought it up.
Are you sure?
He asked without hope. House is due for tax sale soon.
Looks like he was fleeced by an ex-wife and then booted from IGT. Older engineer. Probably couldn't keep up with the technology. These damn digital slot machines. Wasting good tech on something so stupid. He clicked shut his laptop and wandered off. Unceremoniously, but without rancor, condescension, or contempt, Bones and Catfish rocked back from the table and sauntered to the bar. Sometimes it just goes that way. When it's not right, you'll walk away.
Gee, I hate seeing anybody lose his home, you know. I wish I could think of a way to help him out,
said Peach with not a hint of irony.
Yeah, tough luck.
Peach sidled up.
Good plan, man. Just wasn't meant to be. I like that about life. Never know what banana peel is gonna trip you up around the next corner. It's so fun.
Tin Man wished he could join in this profound celebration of life, but circumstances restrained his enthusiasm.
Don't sweat it, brother. Just think, if we had gone through with it, we would have had to reschedule our meet with my old celly. Right there. See how wacky life is? But somehow it all works out. And you gotta believe me, this is the one we've been looking for. This guy is our lucky charm.
The Thieves Press proudly presents Calling the Shots, written and read by Mark J. Riley.
As Willie packed up her cue, Tech sidled up. Tin Man flashed some office, parking lot in 5 minutes. Willie nodded, her face flushing as the reality sank in. She pulled off her first real hustle and cleaned out the sucker for more money than she'd ever seen in her life, and now had a chance to bury him. It felt good. As Tin Man watched her walk across the parking lot, he could see the change. There was a glide in her stride and a dip in her hip, as the old saying goes.
She had grown, and it scared him. He wondered if she was still in his reach.
You were right, she said with a grin. I do have what it takes. Thanks for giving me the chance while we're still together.
Tin Man swallowed hard and forced out a grin.
You earned it, and I couldn't have played it better myself. By the way, who is the cowboy?
The guy I met at the watering hole with his dog. I told you about him, but you wouldn't believe me.
Well, he sure came in handy, and not just in killing that scorpion. It was beautiful timing to end the hustle.
And now I finish him off.
The frame is played out. Hustle's over.
But he's still hooked. Why would I let him off now?
The conditions have changed. You'd be surrounded by enemies. Not like here.
I can take care of her, blurted Tech.
Just like the last time, huh?
It was a nasty slap on the face and Tech took it hard. Peach ran up as the argument escalated.
Nice play, Willie. You two mind dropping us off at a hotel before you head over to kill us? Did you know his actual name is Kelly? What a goofball.
They're not going.
Yes, we are.
It's too dangerous.
That's for me to decide. Easy, kids. Play nice.
Stay out of this.
No. See, I think it's a very good idea if Willie and Tech pay this fool a little visit. As long as they keep their wits about him, it could prove to be very fruitful.
We already took him for 7 large. It's enough.
Chicken feed. This guy's good for way more than that. That's what I'm trying to tell him.
You're not helping here, Peach.
Depends on who I'm trying to help, which really is all of us.
Would you mind not talking in riddles, said Tech.
It gives me a headache. Sorry. So what I'm trying to say is I got to talking with this guy at the bar. Says he's been following Killa's antics online. Apparently he's always posting pictures of himself rolling around in piles of cash, like he's got a fetish or something. Has to have it nearby at all times so he can touch it. The most recent posts on social media were taken just last week in his estate here in Sedona.
So,
has all my training gone to waste? It's really discouraging sometimes.
You're talking about heisting this guy.
My goodness, you're slow. Of course I'm talking about a caper.
And if Willie and I get inside his house, we can find out where the money is stashed.
Uh-huh. The boy gets an A+.
Tin Man bit his lip. Tech was always showing him up around the teacher.
I don't like putting Willie in the middle of this kind of thing.
Willie placed a hand on Tin Man's arm, her mind churning, seeing the possibilities and the change it might bring in her situation.
I appreciate that. I really do. And I'm not interested in being in on any heist. I just want to play pool. But if this will get you what you want, then you have to let me help you. Just like you've helped me. Did I tell you? She's one of us, brother. So come on, let's do this.
Tin Man knew the tide was against him, and for good reason. He also could see the viability of heisting this creep. And if it was a good haul, it might be enough to finance a pool hall on his own. Still, there was his daughter to think of.
On one condition. Willie, you have to go hill.
But I can beat him. Why should I swap games?
Because if you destroy him, he will get ugly. So that's the deal. Play it my way or I swear I'll tie you up and throw you in the trunk.
Willie was bursting with rage, but Peach swung an arm around her and said,
Don't break red, Willie. He makes a lot of sense, and he's your dad. What do you expect him to say? By the way, brother, I'm proud of you. That was very fatherlike. And the trunk thing? Nice touch.
Thanks.
Anywho, Willie, you've already proven you own him, and there's more to be had here than another few grand. But we've got a limited time frame. My buddy in the bar says Killa's starting a new tour soon, so he'll have to be leaving Sedona any day now to get ready. And where he goes, so goes the money. Thus, the question we have to ask ourselves is, do we want all that beautiful cash to go trotting off with this little twit, or with us? From my estimations on how many bills it takes to make a big pile to roll around in, we're talking upwards of $250,000.
Eyes went back and forth around the circle. One by one, silly grins formed. Willie broke the silence with,
Our posse against theirs. Sounds like fun.